Now we're holding on page 32 in Yerushalmi Tainis, Ois Ches. So the subject of the first half of the perek that we're dealing with is about the Tanis Tzibur that they have for rain, and then the Mishnah mentions the extra brachas that they would say during Shemana Esrei, where each of them they end off with Misha Ona, so and so, in such and such circumstances, Huyana Eschem, Vyishma Kolza Kaschem Ayem Azeh, Avram Avinu, the Jewish people by the Yamsuf, and then the third one is Yoshua Bagilgal. So where did the Eibush to answer Yoshua in Gilgal? So you have like this. In Sefer Yoshua, it tells that Gilgal was the first place they camped in after they crossed the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael proper. They used that was their headquarters for the next 14 years. In particular, the Mishkan was there during those years. So first they went and conquered Yericho, Bederech Nes. Then after that, they went to fight against the next city, Ai. And the Pesukim described over there was a fellow Ochon who had taken some of the spoils of Yericho and was over on the Cherem in that. And for that, since people knew about it, and since it's after they had crossed the Yarden and Koristol Arevim Zelazer, so therefore the next time when they went to fight against Ai, then they were defeated and a bunch of people were killed. So Yoshua is all Yoshua and the Skedim are all worried about it, and they go and tear their clothes and cry before Hashem, what's going on over here? And Hashem tells them somebody has done something wrong, somebody has violated the Cherem. You need to take care of that before I'm going to allow you to be successful in war again. So that was in when Yoshua is crying in Gilgal, and Hashem answered him. So in this connection, the Gemara mentions now in Yoshua's tefillah, he says, what's going to happen if the Goyim and Eretz Yisrael are going to defeat us because you're not on our side anymore? Yoshua says, "Matasa l'shimcha gadol." What are you going to do for your great name? In other words, the simple meaning is he's saying, in other words, it'll be a chil Hashem. People will think that Hashem doesn't have the power to overcome the Goyish nations, etc. But now the Gemara gives a different twist on that lashon of his. Reb Shimon ben Lakish b'shem Reb Yanai Omer shtikef HaKadosh Baruch Hu shmoy HaGadol b'Yisrael. Hashem joined his great name to the Jewish people. So like this, the name Yisrael includes the name Kael. In other words, granted, it's called the Kisoriso Melekim v'im Anoshim because Yaakov overpowered the Malach, but still, it didn't have to Davka include the name Kael. It could have just been Yoshur. We have the name Yeshurun, for example, for the Jewish people, but the primary name of the Jewish people, Yisrael, incorporates Hashem's name, that Hashem put his name into the people's name. Why? Moshal Melach Shehoyel Mafterach Shal Palmanter in Ketana. So it's like a king who had a key to a small palmanterin. Various Mephoshim talk about what a palmanterin is exactly. It means a small room, or it means a small chest. Whatever it is, the point is that it's a small key. Omana Melach, so the king thinks to himself, Imani manicha k'mois shehi, if I leave the key as is, avudahi, then it's going to get lost because it's small. Ela hareini oisala shosheles, so instead I'm going to make a chain for the key. So this way, if the key gets lost, then you have the chain attached to it, and that'll make it much easier to find the key. So in the same vein, Hashem says, if I leave the Jewish people as they are, and after all, the Jewish people are a small nation, then they're going to get lost and swallowed up among the goyim. So Hashem says, I'm going to join my great name to theirs, v'hein chayim, and that way they will live. Like, so to speak, now we can't get lost because we have Hashem's name attached to us. Ma taima. So where do we see that in the pasuk? That's what Yoshua is saying in his tefillah. V'yishmu aknani. He says, now that we've been defeated in battle, the knanim are going to hear, v'chol yoshvei aretz, and all the other nations who live in Eretz Yisrael, v'nasabu aleinu, they're going to surround us, v'chrisu as shmeinu min aretz, they're going to wipe out our name from the land or even from the earth. Or matas of the shimcha gadol. So when Yeshua says, "What are you going to do for your great name?" meaning shahu meshutaf banu, that your great name is attached to us. So in other words, you can't allow us to be destroyed by the Knanim because then your name is attached to us like the chain to the key. So that's the point. In other words, that Hashem joined his name to ours. Miyad. So right away, Hashem answers him. Vayomer Hashem al Yeshua kum loch. So Hashem says to Yeshua, get yourself up, which also means, so in the simple sense, it means get up, I've answered your tefillah, so now get up and go deal with what needs to be done. But also the word kum in that pasuk is written without the vav, so it's written kuf mem. So therefore, we can also darshan it meloshin kum. Ahu dad karta kum loch. That name of Hashem that you mentioned has risen up for you. In other words, you're right. You have a valid point. And that name of mine, Kale, is going to stand you in good stead. And I've accepted your tefillah on that basis. And I'm going to tell you what needs to be done to take care of the situation so that the Jewish people will continue to win their wars. The Bavli, by the way, has a different nuance that we learn also from the Kom Loch. It means there's also a criticism of Yeshua that Hashem is telling him, why didn't you lead the army into battle? Kom Loch, you stood in one place rather than going and leading them. You're supposed to lead them in battle like Moshe Rabbeinu did. But anyway, that's the point is that was the central point of Yeshua's tefillah. Hakosev interestingly mentions over here that he starts by saying, in order to fully understand this Maimon Chazal, he would have liked to have a complete copy of Yerushalmi Tainis, but unfortunately he didn't. He only had excerpts of it, probably from Sfarim like Menoris Amar and other Sfarim before him that collected the occasional Agadah. And it's too bad, really, because you look at the Yerushalmi Tainis, there are a lot of fascinating stories in Maimon and Maimori Chazal that could easily have gone into Ein Yaakov. But anyway, he goes into a long arichus, what exactly is the point of this mashal over here. So one thing he says that maybe in the mashal, it's not so much like this, the simple meaning we would understand is that the key is the Jewish people and the chain is Hashem's name that's attached to them. And again, the point is that Yeshua is worried that if we get defeated, then what's going to happen? Then what's going to happen to Hashem's name that's attached to us? But then he actually says that maybe also another way of understanding the mashal would be that the key represents the Torah, and the chain that's attached to it is again Hashem's name that's attached to it, which Hashem through it Hashem does nisim v'niflois for that, and that way the key of Torah gets preserved and doesn't get lost. So in other words, same moshel of the key and the chain, but in the nimshel the key would be not so much the Jewish people but rather the Torah and mitzvahs that we accomplish in the world. All right, the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yanei Ze'era b'shem Avohosoi. Kol mi she'enei kosher ki Yeshua. Anybody who is not as kosher, who is not on the same high level as Yeshua, where she'im yipol alponav v'yomel ha'akadosh baruch hu kum loch, where he can fall on his face, and as Yeshua did, and Hashem will tell him, get up, I've answered your tefillah, al yipol, he shouldn't fall on his face, but tzibur, he shouldn't fall on his face in the first place, of avad yochid al tzibur, that is when we're talking about a yochid doing it in front of the tzibur. When we learned Ein Yaakov on the Bavli Tainis, the Gemara had mentioned, this is the same point over there also, that if a person is not of the caliber of Yeshua ben Nun to be answered right away, then he shouldn't fall on his face, but tzibur, for a variety of reasons that we learned over there that different Mefarshim say, because people are going to think less of him for that, or because people are going to think less of the concept of falling down in tefillah in front of Hashem, they're going to think it's ineffective, and various other considerations. Which is why, by the way, we know that even though nefilas apayim in principle should involve prostrating ourselves on the ground, we don't do that for that reason, because we're not of the caliber that we should be able to know that we're going to be answered right away. Sanyam Kippur is a different thing. We're not prostrating ourselves to ask Hashem. There, we're doing it in commemoration of how we did it in the Beis Hamikdash primarily. So it's not really the same thing. When did that stop? Vesachnish, the Gemara in Tainus mentions over there that Rav didn't fully prostrate himself on the floor, but the Gemara explains over there that there was also the consideration that there was a stone floor in his part of the shul, and la halacha, you're not allowed to prostrate yourself on such a thing. Evan Maskus lo sitna ba'arzachem. So yeah, when it actually stopped, I don't know. The Rama mentions in Hilchos Tefillah, he mentions Nefilas Apayim, and he mentions this Gemara. If I remember correctly, he mentions this Gemara about that a person shouldn't do it unless he's going to be Nenek Yeshua ben Nun. So it sounds like in the Rambam's times, maybe it still was sometimes done, but I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Now another one of the next one of the brachos that they said over there on a tiny tzibur ended off Misha Ona Shmuel ba Mitzvah Hu Yana Eschem, that Hashem who answered Shmuel and Mitzvah, then he should answer you and listen to your tefillahs on this day. What happened with Shmuel and Mitzvah? So the Psukim describe in Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel was now leading the Jewish people after Eli had passed, after the Oren had been captured by the Plishtim and then returned, and Eli had passed away, etc. So now Shmuel is the leader of the Jewish people. So at one point he gathers them all. He's been working for years to get them to give up Avodah Zarah and various other Avodas. He's been traveling all over Eretz Yisrael for that. Now he figures it's the time is ripe for a massive gathering to get everybody to do tshuva once and for all. So he gathers them to the city of Mitzpah, which was regularly used for such purposes. And so the pasuk says Vayichov Tzvam Mitzpasa. So then actually the pasuk goes on to say, they all confess their averis to Hashem, which is what the Gemara is going to focus on over here. After that, then you have the Plishtim heard that all the Jews are gathered in Mitzpah, and they figured, oh, we have an excellent opportunity to attack them. So they're coming on the attack, and the Jewish people ask Shmuel, please daven on our behalf that Hashem should save us from them. And sure enough, Shmuel brings a korban, and Vayizak Shmuel al Hashem, he cried out to Hashem, and sure enough, Hashem made a nest. There was a tremendous thunderstorm that terrified the Plishtim, and then the Jewish people are able to win a very decisive battle against them. Anyway, so that's the Mishon, Shmuel Bar Mitzvah, is referring to that incident. So let's focus on what happened in that gathering. The pasuk says, "Vayikov tzu amitziv, vayikov tzu amitzpasa." They all gathered into the city of Mitzvah. Vayishavu mayim, they drew water. Vayishbechu lefnei Hashem, and they poured out the water in front of Hashem. Now, v'chimayim shofchu, are you going to say they drew water? Now, there are other midrashim that say that, yes, as a matter of fact, they did. Did they pour out water? There are midrashim that say that, yes, this would have been the time of Nisuch HaMayim, so that they should be pouring out water in front of Hashem. But the Gemara over here is taking it that no, it's one thing, Vayishavu Mayim, we can say it means they drew words of Torah from Shmuel, that he taught them Torah, which is compared to drawing water. But why would we call it pouring out? So Ela Malamet Shofchos Libam Kamayim. So it means they poured out their hearts like water in sincere tshuva to Hashem. The pasuk continues, Vayomer Shmuel Chatanu LaHashem, and Shmuel said, we sinned before Hashem. Now, it actually doesn't say in the pasuk the word Shmuel. It says Vayomru Sham, they said there Chatanu LaHashem. So sometimes the Gemara, both Bavli and Yerushalmi, does quote Psukim differently than we have now, but it's not necessarily that sometimes it seems Rabbi Akiva Eger has a long list on a Gemara in Shabbos where it seems there are various places where the Masorah of the Chachmei Gemara was different than our Masorah nowadays in various little details as far as Malayim and Chaserim and things like that. Here it's not necessarily that, though. The Gemara is saying that the Chatanu LaHashem, it's the Jewish people are saying it, but Shmuel is the one who put them up to it, basically, that they should make a public declaration of that, and Shmuel is saying that along with them. So Omer Shmuel bar of Yitzchak, Lova Shmuel Chalukan Shoko Yisrael. If Shmuel, so to speak, put on the garment, the undershirt of the whole Jewish people, which means, in other words, it can mean that he, different Mephoshim talk about over here, that it means either that he served as their defender before Hashem, or it means like he put himself, so to speak, in their shoes, and is saying that, and is saying that even though he certainly wasn't choita to Hashem, but he's saying on behalf of the Jewish people and getting everybody to say along with him, chotanu l'Hashem, namely omelafonov. Which also Eitz Yosef points out, the Psukim over there also say, after it mentions that they said Chotanu LaHashem, the Pasuk continues that Vayishpot Shmuel Asa'am, that Shmuel judged the people over there. Now, in the simple sense, it means exactly that. In other words, he sat down and convened a Beis Din. You have all these Jews gathered over there. Inevitably, there were going to be Dine Momenus of Dine Torah of various kinds that haven't been dealt with, and he'll deal with them on the spot. But still, it's a little hard to say. You're going to say that at such a time, I mean, there would be a huge backlog of Dine Torah like that. So therefore, the Gemara wants to understand that what we mean in Vayishpot, like he judged that the people are deserving, that Hashem should forgive them, and that Hashem reciprocated and did that. So Shmuel now is, so to speak, putting on the garment of the Jewish people and like acting as their advocate and stepping into their shoes. Omelafanav, he says to Hashem, Ribon Ha'olamim, Klumat Adonis Ha'olam, Es Ha'odam Elal Shaloi Omelafanecha Chatasi. Why, after all, do you judge a person harshly for his averus? Is when he doesn't say that I sinned. as we find, in fact, later on with Scholl, where he had a hard time admitting after the whole thing with Amalek that he had done wrong, and Shmuel tells him, you forfeited the kingship. But when a person is willing to say chatasi, that itself is a big thing on his behalf. V'chtiv, as in fact, you have a pasuk, hinini nishpat oisach, Hashem says, through the Navi Yirmiyah, I am going to judge you, al omrech loy chatasi, because you're saying, I haven't sinned. Well, then Shmuel says, fine. Here, the Jewish people are saying chatanu to you, so therefore, for that reason alone, you should have rachmanus and accept their tshuva. So one point also Akosid makes, this that we're saying, he, so to speak, put on their shirt, as though like he's metaphorically, he's taking off, he's divesting himself of his clean garments of Machshava Dibra Maisa, and so to speak, putting on their dirty garments where they have those things, and then saying chatanu. I'll derech like you have a famous story involving the Mittel Rebbe, I think it was, where after a while doing Yechidus, he's very tired out and sweaty and everything, and then his Gabbai wonders why, I mean, what's so physically taxing about Yechidus, and the Mittel Rebbe explains to him, every person that comes, I have to, so to speak, divest myself of my clothing and put the other guy's clothing on in order to understand what he did, and then put back on my Rebbe's clothing so I can give him an Eitzah, and you can imagine if I have to change back and forth 50 times in an hour, then I'm going to be pretty worn out from it. Next, another one of the brachas that they said was Mishana Eliyahu Baharakam, Mishana Eliyahu Baharakamel, that Hashem who answered Eliyahu on Harakamel, then he should answer us on this day. And we know what happened with Eliyahu on Harakamel. So the Gemara focuses on one particular detail of it. Ksiv. At the time when they were offering up the korban mincha in the Bis Mikdash, that is to say the Talmud Shaben HaBayim, and you have the minchas nesachim that goes with it, so mid-afternoon, and normally the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, normally the Mishnah tells us in Pesachim, usually the time when they would shech the korban Talmud would be 8.5 hours into the day, and they would finish bringing it 9.5 hours into the day, which is why 9.5 hours is the time of mincha ktana. So let's say on a day when sunrise is at 6 and sunset is at 6, so it would be around 3:30. Anyway, so at that time, the Gemara, by the way, mentions that we see from this the importance of Tefillas HaMincha, L'olam Yehei Adam Zor B'Tefillas HaMincha, because that's when Eliyahu HaNavi was answered. Anyway, so Vayigash Eliyahu HaNavi Vayomer, so Eliyahu HaNavi came close, and he said, Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchok V'Yisrael, Hayom Yivod Evergomer, today let it be known that I'm your servant, and that you're the God of the Jewish people, and that I'm your servant. So the question is, now he's bringing a korban over there on a bama, on a harakamel. This is well over 100 years after the Beis Hamikdash was built. How is Eliyahu bringing a korban at a time when bamas are already also? Because Hashem specifically told him to, as Eliyahu himself says in his tefillah, it says over here, it's really supposed to be, it's with your words that I've done all these things. So this is the famous thing that when an established Navi says to be over temporarily on a mitzvah, any mitzvah except the Avodah Zarah, then we listen to him, and the classic example of that is Eliyahu Baruch Karmel. So he's saying, I did according to what you said to do. He continues in his tefillah, Aneni Hashem Aneni. He says, answer me, Hashem, answer me. So why the double expression? So the Bavli in Brachas brings a couple of points about it. One point is Aneni, that fire should come down, and Aneni, that they shouldn't think it's Maisek Shofim. But here the Yerushalmi gives another take on it. Aneni b'schusi, aneni b'schus tamidai. Answer me in my own schus, and in addition, answer me in the schus of my tamidim, the Bnei Hanavim, who were being persecuted by Yizevel, as you have earlier in the Pesukim, that Yizevel had been killing whichever Nevi'im she could get her hands on, and Evadia had hidden 100 of them in caves, and Eliyahu himself says in a speech to the people, I'm the only publicly known Navi who's out and about. So therefore, so even if not for my sake, at least for the sake of those Talmidim, that Yizevel should stop persecuting them when everybody recognizes Hashem. So one thing we see from this, Akosef points out, we see from this the greatness of the sometimes you can get more advantage from your Talmidim. A tzaddik can get more advantage from his Talmidim and from himself than from himself. We see that Shmuel, it wouldn't have been enough for him to daven to Hashem. He has to get the whole Jewish people with him. We see for Eliyahu, it's not enough to say, Hashem, answer me in my schus. He has to invoke the schus of his Talmidim. So more similar. So on actually on a similar topic from the next perek, perek Seder Tanya Selu. So so the it starts talking about different other details about fasts and davening when there's a lack of rain or when there's other kinds of disasters. So the Gemara tells a couple of stories of Chachamim, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and other tzaddikim who davened for rain, and some of them were answered and some of them were not. So why is that? It's not that one is great, it's greater tzaddik than the other, but the other one was able to get his kehillah to join him in doing tshuva and crying out to Hashem, and the other one was not. So in this connection, the Gemara brings Amar Rab Ze'era b'shem Rab Chanina, Ma Yasu G'dole Hadur, what should the great people of the generation do if they're not answered by Hashem? Da'inat tzibur nidin el acharuba, because the tzibur is judged according to its majority. So if the majority of the people are not going to be doing tshuva, then even though the individual tzaddik deserves that Hashem should answer him, but Hashem may not do so. Shekein matzinu, as we find with Moshe Rabbeinu, shekol shlosh moshmona shonim shohi yisroel kiminudim, throughout the 38 years in the desert when the Jewish people were in effect in a state of nidui after the chet ha-meraglim, loy hoy medaber in Moshe. Hashem was not speaking with Moshe. Now, what does that mean? There's many mitzvahs that were given during that time. There's a number of different explanations that Mefoshim say. It means that Hashem wasn't speaking to Moshe Beloshen Shel Chibo. He wasn't speaking to Hashem in a way that he would, like in a friendly way, so to speak. Rashi on the Psukim in Parshas Devarim, where you have a bunch of Vayomers, and only after Vayhi Kasha Tamu, only after all the people who had to pass away in the Midbar did, then Vaydaber Hashem Elai Lamer. So the point is that up until then, during all those 38 years, Hashem had been using a Lashon of Amira rather than Dibur, where on the one hand, Amira is a softer thing, but on the other hand, Dibur means telling it like it is, which means like a more clear kind of communication. So there's different Mephoshim talk about it. It means that during those years, Moshe Rabbeinu himself is only having Nevuah b'Ispaklawiyah She'ena Me'ira, similar to other Nevi'im, not the Ispaklawiyah Me'ira that Moshe Rabbeinu had before and after that. It means, again, that Hashem is not speaking to him, and so to speak, in such a friendly and pale kind of way. It means maybe Hashem is speaking to him only at night or only when absolutely necessary, unlike before that, where Hashem would speak to Moshe anytime. Etc. Anyway, Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Vayhi chasha tamu kol anshei hamochama lomus mikerav ha'am." Once all of the warriors had passed away from the people, all the Yisraelim between 20 and 60 who had to pass away in the midbar, "Maksiv basre." What does the next pasuk say? "Vaydaber Hashem elei lemer." That Hashem spoke to me, saying. So we see that during all those years, then the nevuah to Moshe was on a lower level and was restricted, because Hashem gives nevuah to the Nevi'im only for the sake of the Jewish people, and we're saying over here that Hashem judges according to the majority. So since the majority were in nidui, then therefore that affected Moshe Rabbeinu as well. This was, by the way, in Daf Yomi in the Bavli a few days ago as well, in Bava Basra. Similarly, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi b'shem Rabbi Shur ben Levi says the same kind of thing. Ma yasu g'doy la'adur. Here's another example. What can the g'doy la'adur do? Ve'enat tzibur nidin el acharuboy. When the tzibur also, we see in another way, is judged only according to the majority. In other words, that again, as great as the tzaddik is, if he can't get the tzibur to follow him, then Hashem may not answer his tefillas. Shekein matzinu, as we find again with Eliyahu Navi. She'o molei omi Yisrael b'har ha-karmel Hashem hu ha-lekim. If it hadn't been that the Jewish people, they were said Hashem hu alikim, lo yoda ish min ha-shamayim, v'sofer as ha-korbonus, the fire never would have come down from Hashem and burnt up the korbonus as fervently as Eliyahu is davening for it, and as much as he is a tzaddik and deserves for it to happen on his own schusim and the schusim of his talmidim. It took the Jewish people collectively as well. Now the question is, Eitz Yosef brings from Korban Eda on this Gemara, wait a minute, the order was first the fire came down, and then Vayav Kala'am Vayom Rashem Hu Alekim. Here the Gemara seems to have it backwards. So the answer is that it means they had already accepted before that if the fire comes down, as Eliyahu says, then they will agree. That's the Eliyahu had told them in the first place, that we're going to have a test over here. So they're saying in advance, once we see that that's going to happen, we're ready to say Hashem Hu Alekim, to fully believe in Hashem and not to be post-chem al shtei ha-se'ipim like they were before. So therefore we can say, if it were that they had accepted that full-heartedly, then the fire wouldn't have come down in the first place. This next piece actually comes from the this next piece actually comes from the previous perek. I'm not sure why he put it over here, but again, like he said, he didn't have a complete copy of Yerushalmi Tainus in front of him, so I guess he didn't. Maybe he wasn't able to find where it was. Anyway, this next piece actually is in connection with the last of the extra brachas that they do on a Tainus Tzibur. Ends off Mishana the David Shlomo Bnei Yerushalayim. Then Hashem will answer David and Shlomo's tefillas, and Yerushalayim should answer us on this day when we're davening. So Shlomo's tefillah was by the Chanukah Sabayis of the first place in Mikdash, where he says a long tefillah over there. We had a naftorah of Shemini Atzeres. Vayikachalos Shlomo the spalal after we had davened that whole long tefillah of 40 odd psukim. As far as David, that was when you have at the end of Sefer Shmuel, when you have there was a he had counted the Jewish people, and then there was a plague as a result of that. So Hashem sent a navi to tell him go buy Gurun Aravna Yivusi and bring Korbanos over there, and the plague will stop. And David davened, and the plague stopped. So that Hashem answered David and Shlomo in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Amar Abbahu Siv. The pasuk says, "Bekori aneni elakeitziki." When I call out Hashem of my righteousness, Hashem who acts righteously towards me, answer me. But sor hu chavtali, in distress you made things wide for me. Now the simple meaning is, in other words, I was in distress, I was in trouble, and you widened things for me like anoni b'merchavka. The question is, though, the problem is that you would expect us to say mi sar hu chavtali, like min hametzah korosi ka noni b'merchav ka. What's batzer, which suggests that in the narrow straits, in the trouble itself, is the hu chavtali. So it means just that. Omer David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribon ha'olam, kol tzara shayisi nichnas la, whenever I was in any kind of trouble, atah ha'yisa marchiva li, you made a widening, a relief from that itself. Meaning, in other words, it's not like I was in trouble and then you brought me a relief from someplace else. From within the trouble itself came the relief, came the that everything's going to be all right after all. Namely, for example, Nechnasti L'Tzarosa Shabbat Sheva. I was in trouble because of the whole affair involving Bas Sheva. Nasata Li'es Shloima, but you gave me Shloima. Which, in other words, the very fact that Shloima, who is Bas Sheva's son, is the one who is going to succeed to the kingship as he's going to bring another piece shortly that expands on this, that itself demonstrates that that lahalocha, there was no problem with his marriage to Bathsheba, because otherwise how could Hashem accept that? Otherwise, how could Hashem say that Shlomo is going to be the next king? So in other words, so it's not just that the Eibishter demonstrated in some other way that David was in the right after all, but Hashem shows it from within the tzara itself. Similarly, Nechnasti L'Tzoros and Shal Yisrael, similarly, I was involved with the trouble of the Jewish people, that I counted them when I wasn't supposed to, V'nasata Li'es Beis HaMikdash, and the result of that, from within the Tzora itself, came that I finally found the place of the Beis HaMikdash and brought Korbanos over there. So again, from Batsor, within the Tzora itself, is the Hirchavtali. The Tzora itself resulted in the Hirchavtali, exactly. Yeah. So in that connection, in connection with Tzara, although this next piece actually is from the third perek of Tainus over here, and it's talking about when we're davening for rain and for various other tzaras, sort of Yochanan and Rav Shimon ben Lakish. So now you have like this. You have a posik that says Hayarich Shuach Haloi v'tzar v'chol ma'amatzei koyach. A posik from Iyob. Literally, it means would you arrange your tefillah unless there's trouble and all the power. In other words, Poshet Pshat is something like, you know, when you're in trouble, you dive into Hashem. But previously, before the piece that's brought here in Ein Yaakov, the Gemara explains that one meaning of the Pasuk is you should daven before there's the trouble. Don't wait until the trouble comes and then start davening. Be proactive and daven before the trouble comes. So for example, the Mishnah mentions you have various kinds of tzaras that may be hitting a further away area and you're worried that it may spread. What do you call it? Armies, or the marauding armies, or epidemics, or various kinds of things. So the Mishnah describes how you start fasting and davening for them even before they reach your area, because in other words, proactively before they come, you don't wait until it hits and then start davening. So the Gemara brings this pasuk and that connection. So now the Gemara brings Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish. They argue here are more meanings of that pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, im sidarta tefillah lo yehid chotzorei ayin milamayla. If you arrange your tefillah, if before you daven, now remember they didn't have sidurim then, so if you review the words of your davening so that you will say them properly, and then and to be able to then to be able to say the words properly, to be able to have the proper kavana, to be able to put your thoughts in an orderly way, then loyal chotzorei ayin milamayla, then the malachim lamayla who help bring up your tefillahs to Hashem won't be stingy with you. They will in fact help you and bring you tefillahs to Hashem. Shenemar, that pasuk, hayarech shuach aloy b'tzar. So in other words, he's darshaning hayarech shuacha. When if you are to arrange shuacha as meloshin shava as one of the loshonis for tefillah loy b'tzar, then there won't be any troubles, there won't be any hindrances to it coming. V'chol ma'amatze koyach, and on the contrary, all of them will be helping you out and strengthening you and bringing you tefillahs to Hashem. There is, by the way, quite a bit of discussion among Rishonim about the question whether in davening are we allowed to address any malachim or any things like that and ask them to bring our tefillahs to Hashem. So we have a number of piyutim and a number of tefillahs that are along those lines. We have malachi rachmim meshorsei elyon that we say in slichas. We have machnisei rachmim also in slichas. We have shloshes remidas hamuris bachanina that we say on erev Rosh Hashanah. Midas harachmim aleinu is gaugli. A lot of Rishonim didn't like that idea. Because how are you talking? You daven to the Eibishter. You have a medrash that says we don't daven to Michal, we don't daven to Gavriel, we daven only to the Eibishter himself. Elov v'loy l'midosav, as the expression is. So maybe we shouldn't be appealing to the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim or to the Machnisei Rachmim or to the Malachei Rachmim, etc. Nevertheless, so there is quite a bit of discussion about that. Ultimately, it is generally accepted. The Tzemach Tzedek discusses it in Shorash Mitzvah Satfilah in particular. There's a long footnote about it in the back of the Machzor. There's a long footnote where the Rebbe brings the various opinions about that and says one thing is based on our Gemara over here. We see that it is legitimate. You're not asking the Malachim, and they're not as though the Malachim have any power of their own to decide what to do, but you're asking them to be the Shluchim, to bring the Tfilas to the Eibishter, and we see from this Gemara that that's legitimate. That whenever we open our own Kurdish, then what? Then Malach Michal takes our tefillos. Okay, so that's but we're not actually appealing to him. There's no question. Everybody agrees. Even the Rishonim who don't like those tefillos agree that, for example, there's no question. We learned in Chagigah, for example, that the Malach Sandal takes our tefillos and weaves crowns out of them for Hashem, and that the Malachim bring up our tefillos to Hashem. The question is, are you allowed to ask them to do that? Basically, so as I said, there's. The bottom line is that it's generally accepted. That it's generally accepted that you can, and the fact is, tefillos like that are said in many, many kehillos. You take, for example, interestingly, you look at the Rebbe's notes in Slichas. You have the piyut shloshes yemidus. The Rebbe comments over there that in most printed editions of Slichas, you'll find the wording in quite a few places in that piyut and then that slicha is different than the way we say it. So the Rebbe explains because of that concern about addressing the Shloshes Yomidus directly, so therefore various Rishonim and Achronim change the wording of it to make it more like we're asking Hashem directly, or we're asking that we ourselves should be more motivated to come close to Hashem. So the Rebbe restores the original wording over there, where we're more clearly speaking in the feminine Shloshes Yomidus Amuris Bachanina Chali Pnei Malki Betzchila, etc. Where we're asking the Shloshes is directly to go and plead with Hashem on our behalf. But you have the different other things like that. Again, for example, in the piyut Ezkira Elokim, you have the paragraph of the Midas Harachnim Aleinu Hisgaugli. I once saw Taka. So in the notes in the back of the Machzor and in Seif Amin Hogim, the Rebbe points out the fact is we do say those. We're not concerned about the shittas that say that not. But I actually did once see a Machzor where they changed the wording and said where they changed it to something like Gaugel Aleinu Rachamecha or something like that. Okay. Anyway, Rebbe Shimon Lakish Amar. Now Rebbe Shlokish has a different view of the matter. He says the pasuk, this pasuk hayarech shuacha loy v'tzor v'chol ma'amatzei koyach means im sidarta tefillah, if you have arranged your tefillah. Again, in other words, if you've properly arranged and reviewed your davening, the words of your tefillah before you actually say it, so you know what you're saying, loy tehe meitzer picha, then you don't need to keep your mouth narrow. Hayarech shuacha loy betzer, your mouth sar melosh narrow. You don't have to keep your mouth narrow. Ella, as the pasuk says, harchav picha v'amaleu, you can open up your mouth wide, and Hashem says, I'll fill whatever it is that you want, because you put in the effort to make your davening meaningful. So therefore, the Eibishter is saying I'm more receptive to that, to giving what you're asking for. So two other meanings. And so in other words, we have in short three meanings, at least three meanings of this pasuk, Hayarech shuacha loy betzer. One that was in the piece of Gemara before this, that you should daven proactively before loy betzer, before the tzar comes. Another one that if you, and the other two having to do with you, if you arrange and rehearse your davening ahead of time so that it comes out fluently. So nowadays that we have sidurim, I don't know that it necessarily means to rehearse the words. It would mean more to, it would mean bepashtus more to develop some kavana for it, to know the pirush hamilus, to learn the sidurim dach or other maimorim that explain things in davening. So those kinds of things. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying then the malachim will help bring your tefillahs to Hashem, and Rish Lakish is saying then your tefillahs are more likely to be accepting.
What if the cousin has to do that?
So the Chazan, so to a certain extent, the Shtila Shemana Esrei that the Chazan does is to a certain extent a rehearsal for Chazaras Hashatz, yes, but which is why he davened Shtila Shemana Esrei in the first place. But we're saying even for the average person, he needs to have his it actually says in Shulchan Aruch also that, for example, Tefillos of Musaf, which we don't say as often, then a person should review them ahead of time so that he knows what he's saying. Similarly also, at that point, they point out when it comes to the piyutim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's good to review them ahead of time. They have a lot of complicated words and phrasing and whatnot in them, and you're not really going to understand them unless you look them over ahead of time, or I guess if you have a Hebrew English machzor in front of you. So now the next piece over here is actually not from the Yerushalmi. It's actually from Medrash Tilim on the Gemara had quoted before, the pasuk Bekari Aneni Elokei Tzidki, and talked about that David is saying that from the Tzoreh itself came the Ravacha. So we have a piece from Medrash Tilim on that pasuk that expands on that point. So again, Bekari Aneni Elokei Tzidki, David says, when I call out, you answer me, Hashem of my righteousness. You made it wide for me from in the tzara, which again, like the Yerushalmi had said, meant that the tzara itself results in the harvacha. So it means, there were three things that David was troubled about, and Hashem made it wide and comfortable for him and gave him and helped him accomplish it. The first one is about the Beis HaMikdash. Where is it to be built? David really wanted to build it, as we know he was already to, except that Nasan Anavi told him he can't. But there was he didn't even know for sure where it is. So V'cheinu Omis, Chor Hashem Lo David, Es Kolu Noise, as we find a Kapitel Tilim that begins, remember for Hashem all of his trouble, all the suffering that he went through to try and find the place of the Beis Mikdash. The Hirchav Lo Yakad Unoise means like he afflicted himself, he fasted and did different other things to have the schus to find that out. The
fasting.
What? It means fasting and various other kinds of things. Yeah. And all the trouble that he went to. Yeah. So Hashem made it wide for him that he was able to find the place. Once he found Gurin Arav Nahivusi and brought the korbanos there, so David declares, this is the place of the house of Hashem. So Hashem definitively showed him that this is it. The achas al eshes Uriah Achiti. The second one is about Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah Achiti. Show you to a melizin achrav. Now, after that whole story of the Jewish people are mocking him and making fun of him. The omrim efshes shova as akivza. They say, look at this. This guy he took the lamb captive. This is after that whole story. The pesukim in Sefer Shmuel describe how Nosan Anovi comes to David and tells him a moshel about a rich man, about a poor man who had only one lamb that he raised and then was his constant companion, and then a rich man comes and steals it to feed to his guests. So the Jewish people are using that same metaphor. That's like he stole the lamb, the horagas haroya, and he killed the shepherd in the nimshol representing Uriah, the hippolos hisro b'cherev, and he caused other Jews to fall by the sword, because we know how did David arrange for Uriah to get killed. So he says, when you're fighting against the Ammonim, then you put him in a vulnerable position where he'd get killed. And in the end, the Pesukim described that some other Jews got killed with him as well. That's the nature of battle. So all of that, yeshlet, sure. So people are saying, how does David have any hope for ever being saved? The hirch of Loyakarish Bohu, but Hashem widened and made things better for him. But Omalayan, Hashem says to him quite openly, Gam Hashem hever chatos chaloisomus. Hashem has taken, Hashem has removed you, Aveda, you won't die. So that helped calm down these rumors about David. Shlishis Chahoyi still omrim. Now, the third thing was also in connection with this, that Jewish people are saying, Ma David Sovar Shamalchus Nishtalach Nibas Sheva. What is David gonna think that the future kingship of the dynasty of Malchus based David is gonna be sent forth, is gonna develop from Malchus based David? Eitz Yosef says maybe instead of nishtalach, maybe the word is supposed to be nishtalah, Meloshin Shosalah Pagimaim is gonna be planted and developed from Bathsheva. So again, even you're going to say, fine, Hashem forgave his aveda, but still such an illicit way of doing things. So again, Hashem widened it for him and made it very clear that yes, that's how it is. Shenemar, David quotes when he's speaking to the Jewish people and telling them about the preparations he's making for the Bis Mikdash. He says that Hashem had told him, Hine bein nodal l'chal v'gomer, behold, a son is going to be born to you, and he continues, Ki Shloime Yishmoy, his name is going to be Shloime, and there will be Shalom in his time. So David is saying that Hashem told me, I can't build the Bis Mikdash because I fought many wars, but Shloime is going to be peaceful in his time, and he'll build the Bis Mikdash. So what's this expression, Hine Ben Nola Lecha, V'chi Kol Abonim Einen Eladim, what's a son will be born to you? How do any sons come into the world? They're all born. Why use the word Nolan? Hine Ben Lecha. Umahu Nola Lecha means Lechaler for Oscha. Meaning he's gonna be born and it's gonna be for your benefit, little for Oscha, that will be for your healing. Min Chatoya Diloch. From your Aveda, you will see there will be a healing from your Aveda, from the fact that you took Bathsheba in an improper way. The very fact that Shloimeh is going to be born, his birth itself is going to show that your Aveda has been forgiven and that he is and you're gonna see that he's gonna be the next king of the Jewish people.
People did not see.
So the people didn't see.
The dafka from this.
Right.
Otherwise, we're not about to get married.
Yeah.
Meaning dafka from this.
Right. So they would have thought, yeah, she's an HSH or whatever. Yeah. So Hashem is showing that, yeah, then this is how it's going to be. Yeah.
Even though from the outside, it doesn't look
right. So al yedei mi, and how did Hashem demonstrate when Shlomo was born? Who did Hashem? So you could argue, fine, when Shlomo becomes king at age 12, then you could see that. How do you see that as soon as Shlomo is born? And after all, he made no the lacha means as soon as he's born, you see. Al yedei mi, so who did it happen through? Al yedei Nosan Anovi. Through Nosan Anovi being sent with a message to David, Shenemar, as the pasuk says, right after Shlomo was born, Vayishlach biyad Nosan Anovi, Hashem sent a message through Nosan Anovi, Vayikra Shmo Yedidya, that he gave Shlomo another name, Yedidya, the beloved of Hashem. So that was a clear demonstration that Shlomo is legitimate and that he's going to be the next king. And in fact, Eitz Yosef refers over here to this Gemara in Menachos that mentions that the name Yedidya is particularly associated with the fact that he's going to be building the Bis Mikdash. And we have various other things in connection with the Bis Mikdash that are called Yedid. So we see by calling him Yedidya is as much as to say he's going to be the one who's going to build the Bis Mikdash. So that demonstrated once and for all that yes, the marriage with Bathsheba was David's marriage with Bathsheba was legitimate, and Shlomo is legitimate. So that's the Batsar who have to leave. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Geula. Zayin Tishrei. So the Rebbe in a letter discusses the question, when you have a neshama that has been in many times in a gilgul, which goof is going to come alive by Tchias Amesim? So the Rebbe talks about in that letter, listen, why does a neshama come in a gilgul in the first place? Is because there are things that it didn't accomplish the first time around, and therefore it needs another chance. Now, since all the Jewish people are Malay Mitzvahs Kerimon, so that means each time there was a Gilgul, then various aspects of the Neshama were fixed up. Various other aspects of the Neshama accomplished what they needed to. So therefore, by Tchias HaMesim, each Guf will come alive with the part of the Neshama that it was Mesakin, that Guf was Mesakin during its lifetime. Now you're going to ask, in that case, so does that mean that there were going to be many Gufim that don't have a complete Neshama? Doesn't matter. Kol Bechina, every aspect of the neshama includes all the other ones, just like every one of the spheres includes all the other ones and so forth. So therefore, there's no incomplete neshama. Each one includes aspects of all the other ones.
So all Gufim will come back.
So that there is a different letter where the Rebbe talks about there are some rare people where it says they forfeited their Tchias HaMesim. So that individual Guf may not come back, but nevertheless their Neshama will come back in a different Guf, in one of the other Gufim that body inhabited and where it did do the right thing. Halachas, finishing up halachas about a fire on Shabbos, Rachman Otzvan. We talked about yesterday saving Sfarim. So you can also, along with the Sefer, the Tefillin or whatever, you're also allowed to save their case. So the Tefillin bag or the mantle of the Sefer Torah or whatever, the Mishnah actually mentions, even if there's money inside them, because even though the money is Muktzah, but the Tikka Sefer goes together with the Sefer. In another vein, we learned about an Ein Yaakov where a mayor pointed out that Acher should be saved from Gehenna on that grounds because he has Torah and he's no worse than a Tikka Sefer. Now, as far as the order, if you can only save certain ones, then a Sefer Torah comes ahead of other Sfarim, and the Alter Rebbe says in general Torah Shebichsav comes before Torah Shebal Peh. Then when the Sakonis Nefashis is involved, then you can put out the fire. So therefore, as we talked about at the beginning of the Simen, when we live among the Goyim and there's concern about riots and all kinds of other things, then you'd be allowed to call the fire department or do whatever it's necessary to put out the fire. But that's Sakol Lefi'im. Now you can't.
Then you don't call the fire department.
I don't know if you do.
The bigger the fire is, the bigger the power you get.
One thing is for sure though, he ends off saying you can't be Mechallel Shabbos to save money under any circumstances, and if a person does, then he needs to go and then ask a Rav how to help him do a Mashmiya, how to help him do Tshuva.